amazing how the Lord brings things together. Graham reading that remarkable passage of scripture and then us singing about this river that flows. I wanted us to think upon our verse that has been, I trust, might be the theme of these messages over this last month, which is that glorious verse in Acts 20:28. He says, "You feed the flock, feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood." And as I've reminded you, that word "to purchase" means to reserve for himself, to actually, at extreme cost, take as a possession to himself. But feed the flock of God. We are fed in so many remarkable ways by our great Saviour, just as that lady was fed. She had absolutely no idea. She had no idea as she left her village that morning and walked down to that well, who she was going to meet and what was laying before her. Someone else did. And one of the pictures that the scriptures present of us is our Lord Jesus Christ going throughout this world from the time of the fall, and like a mighty great shepherd, he gathers and he gathers and he gathers and he gathers, and it's a stream of people that are flowing throughout this world until this world will be no more. When the last of them is gathered, that will be the end of this world. It will be the end of this world. There is no reason for this world to exist except the fact that the Lord has his sheep out there and he's in the business of glorifying his Father, glorifying his word, glorifying himself in the way he gathers them together. And his command to his church, his command to us, command to me, is to feed the church of God, to feed them, as the Lord Jesus Christ fed that woman at the well. I'd like us to just briefly look at a wonderful picture of the Lord feeding some people in Mark chapter 6. It's the feeding of the 5,000. It's a glorious, glorious picture. Glorious picture of the Lord sending these people out in Mark chapter 6. Just to get the context in verse 7, "And he called unto him 12. If you're going to be sent out, you'll be called unto him. If you're going to be one of his, you'll be called unto him. And he began to send them out two by two. And the third thing is that when he sends them out, and he gave them power over unclean spirits. And he says to them, do you take nothing? You take nothing. You don't need anything. You can live simply in this world." Paul's manner of life, he could say to the people in Ephesus, he's left, "You know what manner of life. You know, you Corinthians, you know how I lived among you. I lived with simplicity. I worked with my own hands. I provided not just for myself, I provided for others. But I lived with simplicity." And he says to them, he says, "Don't go aimlessly wandering." He says, "When you enter into a house," verse 10, "there abide until you depart from that place. You find a place and you find a people of ministry and you stay and you wait." And the passage I wanted us to look at is down in verse 30. "And they came back," in verse 30 of Mark chapter 6, "and the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus." If you've been sent out, and if you're one of his, you'll be gathered unto him. "And told him all things, both what they had done and they had taught." They came back with these remarkable words, haven't they? "And he said unto them, come ye by yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat." He wants them. He understands that they've had a tiring time. They haven't even had time to eat and rest. And so here we have this picture.
They get into a ship.
And say over verse 32, and they departed into a desert place by a ship privately. And so here we have this picture of the Lord Jesus Christ in this ship with the 12 apostles. They've just been out working, doing remarkable things, seeing remarkable things, witnessing the remarkable things that the Lord had sent them to do. And there's this ship sailing down the coast of the Sea of Galilee. And what happens? The Lord Jesus Christ is out of sight in the ship, but the people on the shore know that he's there. And what happens? And the verse 33, and the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all the cities. And so as this little ship sails down the coast of Galilee, you can imagine these disciples, these people, flocking from one village. And as they arrive in that village, they say, "What are you here for? What are you running here for?" And they say, "On that ship out there, on that ship is the Christ of God. On that ship is the life of God. On that ship." And then they run to the next village and they gather more and they gather more. As they go down the coast, they gather more and more. And they outwent them. They were going faster than the boat. And they came together unto him. So now there's another gathering, isn't it? And Jesus, when he came out, so they hadn't seen him thus far, but they knew that he was on their boat, so they followed as close as they possibly could. When he came out, he saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them. Because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. Now, no doubt, as those people ran down that shore and they'd seen these healings and they'd seen those people with the demons cast out of them, they'd seen and heard of the remarkable works of the Lord Jesus Christ, there were people with all sorts of needs. There were people, everyone that ran would have had some sort of a need. But the Lord Jesus Christ speaks of the one great need that in any circumstance of life is only ever going to be satisfied by him. There is just one great need, isn't it? He saw that they were sheep not having a shepherd. Now, there were shepherds all over the place in Israel, wasn't it? There was a shepherd in every synagogue. There was no doubt the wisest, most religious man in every village that they ran from. There were, in Jerusalem, stacks of priests and scribes and lawyers. They had their Bible colleges and they had their mission organisations and they had all of the success of all of that religion. And the Lord Jesus Christ looked upon all of that crowd and he says, "They're sheep without a shepherd. They don't have a shepherd. They don't have a shepherd." And the sheep without shepherds are scattered until they are gathered. Gathered by one who is moved with compassion. What a lovely description of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you think upon him being moved with compassion? I don't know about you. So often in our fallen state, we think we have to coerce our God to do things for us. We have to coerce our God to be compassionate and to love his own. We don't have to at all. What a great description. He was moved with compassion. And he began to teach them many things in verse 35. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, "This is a desert place and the time has passed. It's got to evening time. We're tired. We've been exhausted. We've been out labouring without much rest at all for weeks and weeks probably." And he said, and they say to him, "It's too much. It's too much to keep on going." What do they say? "Send them away. It's all too much." And he answered and said unto them,
Give ye them to eat. You give them something to eat. Our theme is to feed the church of God. And they say unto him, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? There was a crowd. There could have easily been a crowd of 10,000 people. It says that there were 5,000 men. This enormous crowd. You give them something to eat. And he saith unto them, how many loaves have you? Go and see. And when they knew, they said, 5 and 2 fishes. This is how the Lord's apostles learn how to feed the flock of God, don't they? They are weary and they are worn out, and they think that it's all just too much. And in themselves and of themselves, they have nothing but a few scraps. A few scraps. And what do they do with their few scraps? Verse 41. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and brake the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. All of God's servants labour week in, week out, tirelessly trying to find something that might feed the flock of God. And when we've done all of our labours, all we have is a few scraps. Just a few scraps. A few scraps on a few pieces of paper. And God's servants know that that's what it is. But what do we do? What do those who feed the church of God do? They take these scraps and they give them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he takes them in his hands. And he looks up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples. So he takes it, doesn't he? He takes it in his hand. He's responsible for his word going out. It's just scraps, isn't it? We heard the most delightful scraps from Graham, the word of God. We just hear it, don't we? But when it comes and it's in his hands, it has the most remarkable ability to feed the flock of God. And he gives it back to his disciples, if you see. They had nothing. They said, send them away. They said, we've got this, next to nothing, to feed 10,000 people. And he takes it in his hands and he gives it back to his disciples, and you give it back to them. You give it back to them. Heaven-blessed manna. You give it back to them and you set before them. And they all did eat and were filled. Not only were they all filled, verse 43, and they took up the 12 baskets full of fragments and of the fishes. There is leftovers, isn't it? When the Lord feeds his people, when the Lord blesses his people with heavenly manna, when the Spirit of God comes and takes the things of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he makes us to realise that his words are spirit and life, and we can live by his promises, we can live by his faithfulness. There's always an abundance, isn't there? There is always an abundance. There is so much that there is so much left over, and he collects it all. They took up the 12 baskets of fragments and the fishes, and they all did eat. There's a great lesson, isn't there, for all of us. When you feel tired and you feel empty and you're depleted and you're unable to give and you just want to be left alone. And maybe you've been taken to the end of your resources. And we've been brought to those places so that our God would know that he provides. He provides to his own, on his own terms and in his own way, and for his glory. I want us,
I want us to delight and to think with expectation, with faithful expectation, that our God will do remarkable things. I want us to expect to be surprised by the grace of God. I love how Paul, when he prays to these Ephesians, he bows his knees before them and he says in verse 14 of chapter 3, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory." How rich is he? How glorious. "He'll grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man." That inner man that's created in righteousness, in true holiness. That inner man which is Christ in you. That new creation. "That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God." That's a mighty big prayer. They are mighty big statements, brothers and sisters, aren't they? Paul was on his knees thinking of these Ephesian elders. God's servants are on their knees thinking of the people that they love in the Lord and the people that they've been given some responsibility for in our mutual fellowship. And he says, listen to verse 28. "Now unto him that is able." Now unto him that is able. Now unto him that is able to do, and I love the superlatives, isn't it? To do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Our God is able. There is nothing impossible with God. Our God is able to do wonders. "Unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ." Unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ. The glory in the church is the glory of the Father that he's speaking of there, isn't it? And it's by Jesus Christ, by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, wherever the church is gathered, and wherever God comes, our great God, wherever he brings that living water as he did to the woman in John chapter 4, or he brings this bread and brings this living bread of life as he did through the Apostle Paul in Ephesus, as he's done throughout this time, he's gathering his people and he's gathering his people. And it's all to the praise of the glory of his grace. "Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." So that's how he feeds the church of God, brothers and sisters. He feeds the church of God. There is just one food that the children of God need. They need the heavenly manna. They need to hear yet again about the glory and the faithfulness of our great God, and how, in sovereign mercy, he comes to wretched sinners and gathers them to himself and keeps on gathering them. What he's begun is the work that he continues. Lord willing, we might see more of that in the second half hour. Let's have a break, and may the Lord bless his words to the hearts of his people.